Monitor continues its Christmas observance with a carol that has become more and more popular in recent years. Happens to be one of my personal favorites. I hope it's yours, too. This is the instrumental version of The Little Drummer Boy by George Greeley's orchestra. Well, sir, Santa Claus has already arrived in town, but that doesn't mean that all the presents have arrived, too. Monitor has a weekend full of fine listening to give away, including a special dramatization of Dickens' famous Christmas Carol later this evening, starring Lionel Barrymore in the role of Ebenezer Bah Humbug Scrooge. But that's still an hour away. Right now, this is kindly, warm-hearted, lovable Gene Rayburn, and here's Wally Stott's kindly, warm-hearted music. Thank you. of the most popular reference books of our day celebrated its 20th anniversary this week. And Monitor participates in this celebration by welcoming, as our guest, its editor. The book is the famous Information Please Almanac. Its editor, Dan Golenpaul. Dan, it's nice to have you with us.
Nice to be here, sir.
Now, the younger members of our Monitor audience, those in their teens especially, may not know it, but this book was the outgrowth of one of the most popular, one of the most witty, most informative radio shows of all time, and it was called Information Please. Now, you were the creator of that show, is that correct?
That's correct.
You were the original producer?
Yes, I conceived the show, and I developed it, and produced it, and directed it, and collected the royalties.
You had a long run with it, didn't you?
Well, I think we started in May 1938, and we stayed on until 1952.
Now, let's go over the cast of characters assembled for Information, please, Dan. Who were they?
Well, we'll start with the master of ceremonies, who was Clifton Fadiman.
Yeah?
A literary critic.
Very learned man and a good MC. Now, who were the others on the panel of the Information, please?
Well, the original panel were Franklin P. Adams. That's FPA, the late FPA.
He was a great newspaper man, columnist.
His column introduced some of America's famous writers, like Dorothy Parker and George Kaufman and Mark Connelly.
The column was Howard called...
Dietz, the Conning Tower.
The Conning Tower, yes. I remember one of his quotes when he was addressing a college graduating class. He paraphrased Hugh Keogh and said to these young people, "The race is not always to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, but that's the way to bet."
I don't want to introduce, since you talked about a race, I'll introduce the racial question. I mean, someone looked at Frank and said, "Some of my best friends are Jews." And Frank looked at him and said, "You think so?" Now, that took care of that remark.
Yeah.
I mean,
he was ready and quick and
but
quite
he able. Was he was a tough taskmaster, yet very generous. The man respected talent and was the first to recognize talent and give them every chance. He got George Kaufman his first job as a columnist and dramatic critic.
Now, Kaufman also was a member of the original panel of Information,
no.
Please. Oh, he was not? No, I thought he was.
Frank was the only one that was auditioned.
Oh, I see.
Other people were auditioned, but when we went on the air, we started with Frank. John Kern was the second one to be engaged. Oscar Levant was the third. And we stopped there. Although we had a fourth guest, we would keep that chair open for... new, fresh...
That was a rotating chair.
Yes, dull guest.
Well, now let's talk about the Information Please Almanac. That originated some years after the actual radio show went on the air, didn't it?
The first edition was published in 1947.
And it's been published ever since?
Yes.
How did that come about?
We had a tremendous mail in the form of questions from our listeners. And a lot of questions were sent in without verification. Answers were given were not always correct. In the process of checking questions and answers, we had to use many, many books. And it occurred to me that that's why people just couldn't research the questions or answers that they sent in.
They had to go to too many sources.
There were too many involved. It involved too many volumes. I got the thought that if someone could create a single volume that would cover many, many subjects, it would be valuable to the public. As I stated in an introduction I'm writing for a special edition, that I thought that this was a good way of rendering a public service and building a bank account.
We wish that almanac many happy returns on its 20th birthday, and its editor and publisher, who has been our guest here on Monitor. Dan Golenpaul, we thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Raven. It's very glad to be here.
A little information about this song? Okay, it's sung by Mitch Miller's gang, and that's all you have to know.
I saw Mommy kissing Santa Claus underneath the...
cheer and good listening to all who are on the Monitor Beacon.
Hi, this is Brad Crandall,
speaking for all of our WNBC family and sending you the warmest greetings for a Merry Christmas and a very Happy New Year. WNBC AM and FM New York.
We're spending Christmas with Monitor and Gene Rayburn, and in a way with some of our servicemen and women overseas. Here's one now.
Hello, Monitor. This is Staff Sergeant Robert Fisher on duty with the United States Air Force in Tainan, Taiwan. I am an air policeman with the 62nd 14th Support Group. Though this is not my first Christmas away from home, this is my first Christmas away from a wife whom I will miss very much. To the fact that we'll probably be working, and I am here by myself. So to my family and to my wife especially, I wish a very Merry Christmas.
Season's greetings from Monitor to our servicemen and women on Taiwan and everywhere else throughout the world. More of these servicemen's greetings later and tomorrow, too. And speaking of tomorrow, there are big doings on NBC as the two divisional winners in the American Football League meet for the overall championship. Hear the game between the early and late sessions of Monitor, and of course you're expected to attend Monitor, too. In the afternoon, with Barry Nelson as your host, you'll meet the famous Metropolitan Opera star, Jan Pierce, learn about a group of super brains who are planning the future of mankind at a California university, investigate New Year's customs and resolutions with a man who is resolved to tell all he knows on the subject, this and more, in addition to the whole regular array of Monitor talent, Nichols and May, Jonathan Winters, Joe Garagiola et al., news, sports, music. Music on Monitor now by Frank Sinatra.
When I was 17, it was a very good year. It was a very good year for small town girls and soft summer nights. We'd hide from the lights on the village green. When I was 17, it was a very good year. It was a very good year for city girls who lived up the stair with all that perfumed hair. And it came undone when I was 21. It was a very good year. It was a very good year for blue-blooded girls of independent means. We'd ride in limousines. Their chauffeurs would drive. When I was 35,
Monitor Comedy Time. With Mike Nichols and Elaine May. One of the traditional features of the Christmas season is the greeting card, which usually brings pleasure, but also on occasion problems. I'm sure you faced this one yourself.
Honey?
Yeah?
Here's a Christmas card. Can I read it to you?
Surely.
It says, "Hi, you two. Sorry you haven't heard from me so long. Since I last wrote, I have two grown sons, one of whom is in veterinary school at Cornell. Let's hear from you soon. Come and visit us in Ardsley-on-Hudson, Henry Glotz." Who is Henry Glotz?
I don't know. Glotz, G-L-O-T-Z?
Yeah.
Henry Glotz? Well, we must answer if he... We've gotten the card.
Ardsley-on-Hudson. Well, if he has two grown sons since we heard from him last, it might be 20 years.
Yeah, yeah.
Henry Glotz.
Now, wait a minute.
What was the name of the butcher when we lived on 73rd Street?
The name of the butcher?
Yeah.
Oh, that was Michael Welk.
Welk?
Yeah, Michael Welk.
I think it was a tradesman.
Henry Glotz.
Do you remember when you had that corn? What was the name of that foot doctor? Podiatrist, I think they call them.
Podiatrist?
Whichever.
I could look that up. I could look that up. Give me the phone book.
Hmm. Did he seem like a Glotz? Does that seem familiar?
Well, I'm going to look under G, and if there's
We've
a Glotz...
We've got to answer.
Hmm.
I can't stand getting cards and not answering them.
I know. B. Glotz, M.D., L. Glotz. B. Glotz, M.D.
B? His name was Glotz?
There is a B. Glotz. We could call up.
No, it's Henry Glotz. It's unequivocally Henry Glotz.
Ardsley-on-Hudson. Is that a hotel?
No, it's a place.
What kind of place is that?
It's like a town.
Ardsley-on-Hudson?
Yeah,
is that a town.
Upstate, or a little more upstate in New York. You know what I'd like to do next year?
What?
Send New Year's cards.
Oh, yes.
Then we simply send cards to all the people who have sent cards to us, and we have that extra week in which to find out who they are.
I think that card was meant for me. I used to know a Glotz. No, I'm sorry, I'm wrong. The first name of the Glotz I knew was Giovanni. Giovanni Glotz. It couldn't be the same one. Well, there's no trouble identifying the names of Mike Nichols and Elaine May. They are regulars on Monitor Comedy Time. Brief time out for Monitor, your nationwide companion on NBC every weekend. Heard in Wichita. Wait until I'm ready, madam. Heard in Wichita, Kansas, over KFDI. Yuletide greetings to the gang there and all along the NBC line. Gene Rayburn here. I'll be back with you shortly.
Monitor friends, e tutti I miei amici italiani, una buona e felice Natale. A very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Happy holiday.
Happy holiday.
Happy holiday.
While the merry bells keep ringing, happy holiday.
Monitor presents the late Lionel Barrymore as Ebenezer Scrooge in A Christmas Carol tonight on the NBC Radio Network.
Thank you, thank you. Welcome to the annual award night of the Airline Hostess Jugglers Benevolent Association. Tonight's the night, right, boys? Tonight, the Airline Hostess Jugglers Trophy will be awarded to two outstanding members who have lived to the fullest the credos of our sacred charter of airline hostess juggling. To wit, one up, one down, and one pending. Envelope, please. The winners, Jerry Lewis and Tony Curtis in Hal Wallace's production, Boeing, Boeing. It's those two nimble airline hostess jugglers, Tony Curtis and Jerry Lewis, in the in-comedy of the year about making out. With whom? With Danny Saval, Christine Schmidtmer, Susanna Lee, and doing some special juggling of her own, the keeper of the boys' pad, Thelma Ritter, Jerry Lewis, Tony Curtis, Boeing, Boeing, from Paramount Pictures in Technicolor.
Now at the Forum Guild and 34th Street East Theaters.
Hi, this is Marjorie.
And Tom Yule.
Hi, this is Mimi Benzel.
Hi, this is Big Wilson.
And this is Brad Crandall speaking now for our WNBC family, wishing you the best of the season's greetings and hoping that all your wishes will be our wishes in the coming new year.
Hello there, Gene Rayburn here, and you're circling the Christmas weekend with Merry Monitor. And what makes it so merry? Well, such merry items as comedy by Bill Cosby and music like this by Andy Williams.
It's the most wonderful time of the year, with the kids jingle-belling and everyone telling you be of good cheer. It's the most wonderful time of the year. It's the happiest season of all, with those holiday greetings and gay happy meetings when friends come to call. It's the happiest season of all. There'll be parties for hosting, marshmallows for toasting, and caroling out in the snow. There'll be scary ghost stories and tales of the glories of Christmases long, long ago. It's the most wonderful time of the year. There'll be much mistletoeing and hearts will be glowing when loved ones are near. It's the most wonderful time of the glories of Christmases long, long ago. It's the most wonderful time of the year. There'll be much mistletoeing and hearts will be glowing when loved ones are near. It's the most wonderful time. Yes, the most wonderful time. Oh,
the most wonderful time of the year.
Now monitor sports. Gene Sarazen, former U.S. Open and Masters golf champion, is the iconoclast who still wears knickers on the links. It's really not that noticeable these days, though, because the courses Sarazen visits for his NBC TV golf show are among the most exotic in the world, places that the weekend duffer only dreams about. A report from Monitor Sports editor Len Dillon.
Gene Sarazen, I understand you just returned from another tour for Wonderful World of Golf. How many years have you been doing this now?
Len, I've been doing it 5 years.
This sounds like a built-in annuity.
I should say so. You know, we've traveled about 60 to 70,000 miles a year. And I think so far we've covered almost 40 countries.
Are the shows going to be any different this year? Will we be seeing any new faces? What about women playing? Will we be seeing some of the women?
Oh, there's one of the greatest women golfers match you've ever seen between Marlene Street and Marilyn Smith. You'll never see such putting in your life. Don't miss it, Len. After all, the pros putt well on good greens, but these girls putted remarkably on poor greens.
Where was this match staged?
Oslo.
Mm-hmm.
3 weeks before, they were skiing on the course.
Gene, tell us something about your special trip to Burma for the State Department.
Well, Len, you know, at first I was very reluctant going because, after all, that's a little communistic there. They don't allow Americans in there, but somehow or other, there was a lot of pressure brought to bear, and I finally decided to go. You know, I never forget the first day they took me out, the doctor was driving the car. He says, "Sarazen, this is the road to Mandalay." I said, "Stop that car." I said, "All my life I wanted to ride a bicycle on the road to Mandalay, and here I am." And of course, the thing that I enjoyed in Burma was the fact that we had a match there between the Burmese champion and myself. And we arrive at the course at 6 o'clock in the morning. You know, that's when they start playing their golf.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's terribly hot. And much to my surprise, when I arrived, there was 400 people having coffee on the lawn. And I want to tell you, I was very deeply touched. And they couldn't have been nicer. Of course, this is the country club set I'm speaking of.
Naturally. How was the course?
The course was very dry. Every time I hooked the ball, a fella would say, "Look out, there's a cobra nest over there." But I want to tell you one thing very interesting, Len. I hit a ball on the sixth hole down the middle of the fairway, and the five or six caddies start running down the fairway after the ball. There was a big viper snake there wrapped around my ball, and the boys went down there to kill it.
Oh, wow.
Ooh, was I scared going in the rough from then on.
Great. I don't know that I'd like to be playing golf under those circumstances.
I was glad to get away.
How did the courses in Burma compare to the ones in Japan, which has had such a smashing rise in popularity ever since the Second World War for golf?
Well, of course, I'll tell you one thing, Len. The course I played in Burma is probably the most difficult course I've ever seen. I don't think you'd want to play it because hard as a rock, no watering.
Uh-huh.
And I want to tell you, they had holes there that you had to be a Houdini to play them. They asked me what I thought about them. I says, "Oh, they're great." I was on a goodwill trip. But the courses in Japan are very well manicured. And one thing that I've noticed, these foreign players that are coming here taking away a lot of money is due to the fact that their courses are more rugged. They're better to train on. Our courses are so well manicured that golf here is a little easier compared with some of the foreign countries. Now, of course, the favorite country for golf, in my opinion, is Scotland. The courses in Scotland are beautiful, and they were laid out by great masters.
Gene, when does Wonderful World of Golf get on the air?
January the 8th. On NBC at 5 to 6 Eastern Time, 4 Central Time, Len. They're really beautiful shows, and be sure and see them in color.
Gene, I want to take the opportunity to wish you a happy holiday season.
Well, Len, I want to wish everybody a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year all along the line.
Thank you, Gene Sarazen, host of Wonderful World of Golf. Len Dillon for Monitor Sports.
Incidentally, because this is the holiday season, NBC Radio has some gifts for football fans. 5 big games starting tomorrow afternoon with the American Football League Championship. Then, on December 31st, it's the East-West Shrine Game, followed on New Year's Day by the Sugar Bowl, Rose Bowl, and Orange Bowl games, all on NBC Radio. And right now, here on Monitor Radio, a present for Patti Page fans, the song Pretty Snowflakes. Let 'em fall, Patti.
It's Christmas. It's Christmas. The snow fell last night. It fell on the treetops and painted them white. The children are playing, their faces are bright. Oh, what a wonderful sight.
Pretty snowflakes, pretty snowflakes, falling down from the sky. How I wonder where you come from as you fly by.
Did winter's magic hand send you down? The fires are glowing and everything's nice. The whole world is smiling and bundled up tight. Oh, what a wonderful sight.
Pretty snowflake, pretty snowflake, falling down from the sky. How I wonder where you come from as you wander by.
Did winter's magic hand send you down to bless the land?
Pretty snowflakes, pretty snowflakes, falling down from the sky. Pretty snowflakes, pretty snowflakes.
We'd like to pass along greetings to you now from the National Automobile Dealers Association, whose thousands of new car dealer members wish you and your family a very happy holiday season. To make certain that it is happy, they ask you to drive with care, showing courtesy to pedestrians and to other drivers. Yield the right of way, even if you feel it belongs to you, when it makes for a safer driving situation. Exhibit the goodwill that this season is all about by showing patience, calmness, and courtesy. Season's greetings from all of us to all of you here on the Monitor Beacon.
Talk sports with Bill Mazur daily on The Conversation Station, WNBC, AM and FM, New York.
Celebrate Israel's growth as a land of freedom by attending the Hanukkah Festival for Israel at Madison Square Garden, Monday, January 3rd. You can get free tickets by buying Israel bonds. For a prospectus and Israel bonds, call Oregon 79650, OR 79650. People who need people know that that means people everywhere. This season, let care be the tie that binds your heart to people in need overseas. Send a holiday check to Care Food Crusade, New York 10016. Every dollar sends a package.
Hi, this is Big Wilson, speaking for all of our WNBC family, sending you our warmest greetings for a Merry Christmas and a very Happy New Year.
Gene Rayburn with more of Christmas Monitor, and we continue our by now traditional custom of relaying holiday messages from some of the members of our armed forces to their families and friends.
My name is Gary Ron. I'm from Flaxton, North Dakota. I'm a Navy photographer stationed aboard the Construction Battalion Center at Port Hueneme, California. I'm very happy to have this opportunity to extend holiday greetings to my family and friends back home. Although I am unable to be with you this year, I am happy in the memory of our days together last year, and pray that next year we can all spend Christmas together again. My very best wishes to you for a happy holiday season.
Monitor's best wishes for the holiday season and the new year go to Gary and to all Americans serving their country here and abroad, both in the military services and in other services like the Peace Corps. More servicemen's messages throughout the weekend. Now it's Monitor on Stage. Monitor monitor on stage, star performances recorded live at leading theaters, hotels, and nightclubs throughout the world. At the Flamingo in Las Vegas, Bill Cosby.
The big thing I remember the most about growing up as a child was kindergarten. Now, to me, the only thing, kindergarten, the only good thing about it is that it teaches you how to say goodbye to your parents without crying. That's all. After that, forget it. They got nothing else for you to do. I remember standing in that schoolyard with 27 snowsuits on and my idiot mittens, you know. The idiot mittens are the ones with the string that go up your arm and around your neck. And the only cool thing about it is if you talk in the left hand, you can listen in the right.
Hello, how's your head? Yes, all right, fine.
Find another kid with idiot mittens on, you run up, you pull his left mitten, and he smacks himself in the face with the right. Yeah, I used to love to do that, boy. And we all stood in that line crying, oh, where are we going? We're going to die. You're going to get us killed. And the next day, I was very cool. Goodbye, Mother. Take care of yourself, won't you, dear? I should be home, 12:30, 12:45, somewhere around there. Might be late. I may have a little milk with the boys, you know what I mean? Tell Dad I'll see him around dinner time. I graduated from that into the first grade. I always wanted to get into the first grade because you have your own desk in the first grade, and that's just a part of being cool, man. Got an inkwell.
Yeah, boy, they still don't trust us, though. No ink in it. Afraid we'll drink it.
And I would, too, man. Ink is cool to drink, boy. Hey, drink ink about 3:25, go home with a blue tongue. Used to make my mother faint. Ma, yeah, look. My mother was cool, man. She would faint for anything, boy. I used to get hit in the head with a rock, cover up the blood, wait till I get right up on her. Ma, look. Way to go, Ma. Cool, yeah. She got me back one day, though. I was playing with my navel.
Yeah. Oh, navel.
My mother said, all right, keep playing with your navel. Pretty soon you're going to break it wide open. The air is going to come right out of your body. You'll fly around the room backwards for 30 seconds. Land, you'll be flat as a piece of paper. Nothing but your little eyes bugging out. Keep it up. I used to carry Band-Aids with me in case I'd have an accident. Gonna learn to write in the first grade now. They give you this paper, grade triple Z. Grade triple Z paper with wood still in it. Big hunks of wood still floating around in it. You gotta write around the hunks of wood. And the lines are about 8 feet apart. They don't want you to miss getting in between them lines, man. Don't want you to start crying. They give you these pencils as big as a horse's leg. And you rest them on your shoulder as you write.
A, B.
May I have another piece of paper, please? I will.
Bill Cosby. Bill Cosby recorded live in Las Vegas on monitor on stage. From some fairly riotous reminiscing, monitor moves along now to some wistful wishing. And if it hasn't snowed for Christmas where you live, it's not too late to join in the sentiment expressed by Johnny Mathis. This is still Christmas Day.
I'm dreaming of a white Christmas, just like the ones I used to know, where the treetops glisten and children listen.
Yeah.
Monitors ring around the world. This weekend, NBC foreign correspondents look at the year ahead in their respective areas of the world. Here is Moscow correspondent Kenneth Bernstein.
The first predictable event of 1966 in the Soviet Union gives a clue to the rest of the year ahead. On January 4th, in the exotic city of Tashkent, the Russians play host to peace talks between India and Pakistan. Prime Minister Alexei Kosygin will be standing by to offer Soviet assistance if Prime Minister Shastri and President Ayub Khan think it will help their chronic dispute. The fact that the Russians are playing peacemaker points to the influences which are shaping Soviet policy. For one thing, the Kremlin relishes the propaganda potential. The implication, of course, is that the so-called imperialist camp is on the side of war, while the communists are all for peace. Another factor is the Soviet claim to be an Asian power. This involvement in Asia's affairs helps back up this case to the great displeasure of the Chinese communists. Relations with Peking are a grave element of the Soviet scene. After more than a year of silence, the Kremlin has revived its side of the open ideological warfare. The tone so far hasn't reached the shrill level of former Premier Khrushchev, but it is escalating. During 1966, the breach in all likelihood will reach its most serious dimensions ever. This might mean everything up to, but not including, a break of diplomatic relations between the Soviet and Chinese governments. The biggest ideological developments may be expected in March, when the Communist Party of the Soviet Union holds its 23rd Congress. Intertwined with the Moscow-Peking struggle is Vietnam. The Russians give all indications of not wanting the Vietnam War to worsen, but they're doing nothing visible to help settle it. Relations with America, which have declined markedly because of Vietnam, may be expected to get even colder. On the domestic front, 1966 will be a year of further shakedown. The 14-month-old collective leadership is still trying to find its way. Party chief Leonid Brezhnev has emerged even stronger than he was first thought to be, but the Kremlin high command is no one-man band. Prime Minister Kosygin, who specializes in economics, will be trying to shake down the new economic program for the country. It puts emphasis on a communist version of the profit motive and gives more authority to plant managers, but the vast changes will take years to put into effect. 1966 for the economy will be a time of confusion and mild accomplishment. Agriculture, the forever muddled area of Soviet economic life, is expected to produce more thanks to vast economic incentives. But troublesome weather and chronic inefficiency already foreshadow trouble with grains. The Russians may have to spend more of their precious foreign currency to import wheat from the West, though the people, of course, will not be told. Kenneth Bernstein, NBC News, Moscow correspondent.
Monitors ring around the world, a look at the year ahead by NBC foreign correspondents. And we'd like to call your attention to Projection 66, NBC's annual forecast of world events in which a panel of 11 foreign newsmen will participate. See it tomorrow afternoon on NBC television and hear it later tomorrow night on Monitor. Monitor has a special holiday treat for you in a little while, the classic dramatization of A Christmas Carol by Charles Dickens with Lionel Barrymore as Scrooge, so be sure to stay tuned. Right now, Coast to Coast, Monitor sends season's greetings to all our friends at station KVOO in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and to all the NBC stations everywhere. Gene Rayburn here reminding you that the latest NBC Monitor news will be heard, as always, at the top of the hour.
Hello there. This is Arthur Fiedler. I'd like to take a moment of your time and Monitor's time to wish all of you a joyous holiday season. Have a very Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas.
Gene Krupa and the All-Star Parade of Bands, New Year's Eve, on the NBC Radio Network.
This is Paris. The big jet airliners are constantly coming and going. And for each aircraft, you have, naturally, beautiful and charming air hostesses. One wishes that one could get to know them all. Boeing Boeing is a story about two dedicated young men who tried.
It's Jerry Lewis and Tony Curtis in Boeing Boeing, the big, fun story of two nimble airline hostess jugglers hip at keeping one up, one down, and one pending. Boeing Boeing, co-starring Donny Saval, Christine Schmittmer, Susanna Lee, and the keeper of the boys' Parisian pad, Thelma Ritter.
You don't need a housekeeper around here. You need a UNIVAC machine.
Jerry Lewis, Tony Curtis in the In Comedy of the Year about making out. Boeing Boeing from Paramount Pictures and Technic.
Now at the Forum Guild and 34th Street East Theaters.
WNBC AM and FM New York, the conversation station, wishes all its listeners a very Merry Christmas.